Hello, I'm Monty Mills from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Division of Ophthalmology. I've just returned from the 2013 meeting of the American Association for Pediatric Ophthalmology and Strabismus, and I would like to recap some of the highlights of that meeting for Medscape. First, the 2013 Leonard Apt lecture, which memorializes Dr. Apt, who just passed away this year, and was a father of pediatric ophthalmology, was delivered by Joseph Diemer, discussing a new syndrome, which he has coined the term sagging eye syndrome. This is a new syndrome that he described in aging individuals with a combination of upper eyelid ptosis, superior sulcus deformity, and variable divergence paralysis, esotropia, and cyclovertical strabismus. And he described in a very elegant series of MRI scans how the rectus muscle pulleys are damaged in aging, and also treatment for this syndrome with a combination of horizontal surgery and vertical muscle partial tenotomies. The other major named lecture was the 2013 Kostenbader lecture delivered by Dr. Edward Wilson from the University of South Carolina, describing the role of vitrectomy in the evolution of pediatric cataract surgery. Through his vast experience in pediatric cataract surgery, how vitrectomy is safe, is necessary, and unlike in adult cataract surgeries, very effective in treatment for pediatric surgeries with a very low rate of retinal detachment and endophthalmitis. A related presentation from the same group, Trivedi et al., discussed new guidelines and a new model for prescribing contact lens powers based on preoperative biometry of pediatric cataract eyes for aphakic contact lens fitting. This new model is much more effective than our previous empiric model based on age, and was quite accurate within the parameters that are available in aphakic contact lenses for infants. An interesting article related to the use of exercises in treating convergence insufficiency, and particularly related to the previous publication of the convergence insufficiency treatment trial, was presented by Horwood, Tor, and Riddle, entitled The Effect of Effort and Exercise on Convergence and Accommodation. They took a group of normal adult volunteers and randomized them to placebo treatment, no treatment, and various forms of convergence and accommodative treatment. And while they measured with some of their exercises a small improvement in convergence and accommodation, there was a much larger effect when using effort and encouragement on their subjects during the testing in the outcomes of their accommodative and convergence measurements. And therefore, their conclusions are that effort and encouragement play a much larger role than previously thought in convergence and accommodative measurements, and that these effects have to be taken into consideration when interpreting the outcome of exercise as a therapy for convergence insufficiency. Related to strabismus surgery, Whitman et al. Presented a new concept for treatment of superior oblique palsy. They reported 32 consecutive cases of superior oblique palsy treated with a single type of surgery, superior oblique tuck associated with contralateral yoke recessions for superior oblique palsy, and demonstrated excellent outcomes, which will change the previous paradigm of using different types of procedures for palsies with different preoperative measurements and or different intraoperative duction testing. And so I think that the paper by Whitman et al. On superior oblique tuck will be a landmark in treatment of superior oblique palsy going forward. And finally, in a paper from our own institution, Ario and others presented the anatomic and visual outcomes of pediatric keratoplasty during the period of infancy, looking at 79 eyes with pediatric keratoplasty during the first year of life. And when comparing those done early during infancy versus those done later in infancy, discovered that there was very similar outcomes in graft survival and time to failure, and also very similar outcomes in visual outcomes, which, although this was a non-random consecutive case series, tells us that probably it is not more risky in terms of graft survival to do early transplants, and possibly it is reasonable to postpone transplant and still achieve good visual outcomes. So these were some of the most interesting papers presented at the 2013 AAPOS meeting in Boston, Massachusetts. This is Monty Mills at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia for Medscape. Thank you.